Well, here we are at the beginning of a new year. It kind of makes you think, doesn't it? I was born in 1942, and I did some rough calculations. Because I have lived for 81 years, I have lived approximately 30,000 days. Makes me tired. That's a lot. But I went even further with my calculations. That's 720,000 hours that I've lived. It's 43 million minutes, and it's 2.5 billion seconds. How many do I have left before I die? Nobody knows other than God. But I'm about to enter into a new year with you. And what's it going to be like? Nobody knows but God. And like you, I want to have the same attitude that the Apostle Paul had when he wrote these words in Philippians 3:14. I press on. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So press on, brothers and sisters, press on. I could end the sermon right there. That's the sermon. Press on, brothers and sisters, press on. But I'm sorry to say I'm not going to end the sermon right there. I'm going to keep going a little while longer. Now, I spend a lot of time on my computer. I especially love researching material and writing sermons and preparing worship services and bulletins for all of us. I love all those things. They're just in my blood. You know what I don't like? I don't like when my computer acts up, when my computer freezes. And the only thing left for me to do is to reboot the thing. I don't pretend to understand exactly what goes on when I reboot it, but I'm told that somehow the computer cleans out the old garbage that's in there, and it adjusts the system files and refreshes them, and it starts over clean. Maybe that's what Paul meant when he said, press on. Maybe he said, hey, people, reboot. I started to call this sermon reboot. I suppose reboot is as good a word as any to apply to our lives as we press on into this new year. 12 months, 365 days, 8,760 hours, etc. God willing, of course. The Bible talks a lot about God making things new. For instance, in the Psalms, over and over, it talks about a new song. Sing a new song to the Lord. And Isaiah, the prophet, told the Hebrews that they would be called by a new name. In Ezekiel, God said that he would put a new spirit into them. In Matthew, he talked a lot about a new covenant. And Galatians defines a new creation. And in the book of Revelations, God said he's going to make everything new. So happy new year, people. Happy new year. As we turn the calendar page over one more time, I decided that today I want us to revisit some of the words of Moses. The great, great prophet Moses from the Old Testament. I'm going to be reading heavily from Deuteronomy 11. If any of you care to follow it, it's up to you. What's happening here? Moses was preparing the Hebrews for an adventure that was yet to come, and that was to enter into the promised land, a new beginning. And he began with a recurring theme that every one of us needs to hear over and over and over. Deuteronomy 11, verse 1 says, love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, his commands. And then he adds this, always. Wow. Always. I can think of no better reminder, no better admonition for any church or any Christian than those words. That God even started the Ten Commandments by saying, "You shall have no other gods before me, and you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything." And Jesus made it very, very clear in three of the Gospels when he said, the greatest commandment is to, you remember? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. You know that. You have heard that hundreds of times if you've been in the church. But how many times did it sink in such a way that it just affected your attitude and your life and your words and your deeds? I've had to ask myself as I was preparing this, Harry, how many times have you loved a thing more than you love God? How many times have I loved a person more than I love God? Without even realizing it, I've created idols in my life. When was the last time I put God first? First. When was the last time you did that? The very next word in Moses' speech is the first word of verse 2. He said, remember. Remember. In this case, he was talking to the Hebrews about all of the miracles that they had experienced back in Egypt. The signs and the wonders of God that began in Egypt. And he made a very strong point. He literally said, remember today that your children were not the ones that saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God, his majesty and his mighty hand and his outstretched arm. What was he saying? It was you. You saw it with your own eyes. Eyewitnesses to all of these things. Now think about this, brothers and sisters. Do you see God's work in your life in this past year? In 2023, did God touch your life in some way? Remember. What about in our church? In this past year, did God touch the life of this church in some way? Do you remember some of our congregation being in life-threatening situations and then receiving healing? Do you remember those months when we were financially challenged and wondered what was going to happen and then God provided? What about your household? I mean, we've got married people here. We've got single people here. What about the place where you live? What about your own family? What about your best friends? Were there any days or hours or minutes that you saw God's hand at work in your life or in theirs? As Moses said, don't you dare forget the majesty of God and what he has done for you in your life. And don't you dare step into your future forgetting his blessings in your life. So far, his message is love God first and remember. Now in Deuteronomy 11, verse 8, Moses said, observe, therefore, all the commands I am giving you today so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. He was saying, if you obey God, he will strengthen you. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to admit something now for myself and for you. As older folks, we ain't as strong as we used to be. In fact, weakness is overwhelming some of us. Moses said, if you want to have strength, when you turn the calendar over this new year, obey the commands of the Lord, and his reward is that he will strengthen you. I'm not talking about physical strength. I'm talking about something far more important, spiritual strength. You can endure anything in that body of yours if your spirit is right with God. Love God first. Remember what he's done for you. Obey his commands, and he will strengthen you. And then Moses reminds the Hebrews that things change. Yuck. In verse 10, he starts by saying, the land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you came, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from the heavens. Things change. Happy New Year. You know, the older we get, the more things seem to change. And the more things seem to change, the more we like to complain about it. We like things the way they used to be in the good old days. We're just like the Hebrews. We don't want to eat manna anymore. We don't want to eat quail anymore. We miss the leeks and the garlics back there in Egypt. Whine, whine, whine. I always thought that it was only babies that whined until I became an old man. And I discovered that we are bigger whiners than the diapered people. Of course, we're diapered people too, some of us. Well, 2024 is practically here, and more changes are on the way, whether we like it or not. So I suppose there's more complaining on the way too. But remember what Moses told the Hebrews in verse 12. He said, it is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to the end. Did you know that was there? Moses said, from the beginning of the year, tomorrow, to 366 days from today, God's eyes are continually on us. Wow. Is that comforting or not? His eyes are on you. His eyes are on you. Say that out loud. His eyes are on me. Hallelujah. As Sevilla Martin said in her poem, and you know this poem, no matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon his breast. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. Say this, God will take care of me. Hallelujah. I could stop the sermon right there. But I'm not going to. By her words, through every day, she was saying that God is going to take care of each and every one of the 24 hours of every day in 2024. Each of the 60 minutes in all of those hours. Each of the 3,600 seconds in each one of those hours, his eyes are continually on you. Isn't that wonderful? You can come to him with confidence and know that. Now listen to what it says in verse 13. So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today to love the Lord your God and serve him with your heart and your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Now, not many of us are raising cattle today, and not many of us are bringing in grain. We are eating and being satisfied, but the principle hasn't changed at all. The principle hasn't changed at all. Hey, let us be thankful that at least one thing has not changed. It's still the same. He's still the same yesterday, today, and 2024. God will send rain into your life if you faithfully obey him and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. And another way to say that is God will provide. His promises is he will provide if you obey him. Is it sinking in yet? Is it sinking in? I could probably end the sermon right there, but Psalm 34:9, fear the Lord, you saints of his, for those who fear him lack nothing. Luke 12:24, consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Or Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. There are many more references in the Bible like those, very uplifting and encouraging and faith-building promises of God. And one of the most glorious ones of them all, are you listening, is his victory over death. If 2024 is my year to die, I have confidence that I know where I'm going. If 2024 is your year to die, you can have confidence that you know where you're going in Christ Jesus. We have nothing to fear. That's what the word says. If we are faithful to our Creator in loving him first, giving him all the glory, and obeying him willingly. That means, brothers and sisters, that you will worship him with all your heart and your mind and your soul. Please hear that. At the center of everything we're talking about is the call from heaven above to us here below to worship God with our whole being, not just here on Sunday morning, but as a lifestyle. I could stop the sermon right there, but there's a minor caution. No, there's a major caution in verse 16. Moses said, be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. And we've already touched on this. Do you remember what happened when Moses went up to Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments and he left the Hebrews at the bottom of the mountain? You remember what happened? They built a golden calf and they started worshiping it and bowed down to it. Where did they learn to do that? They learned that in Egypt. The bull was a very popular idol in Egypt. But Harry, I would never build a golden calf. Really? Really? As we've already said, you can idolize anything in your life or any person if you're not careful. Your love for something parenthesis, what do you love? Close parenthesis. Don't tell me, just think about it. Your love for something can become so excessive that it can replace God and you don't even realize it. It can become an idol and you don't even realize it. No one is going to tell you to not love it the way you love it, but God tells you not to love it so much and so excessively that it replaces Him. That is what it means to worship an idol. I've known people that didn't go to church because a certain sports team was playing that day. I heard people talking about the game, the big game this afternoon. No problem with that. Unless they love that game more than they love this worship service. Think back through 2023. Was there anything in your life that was an idol this past year? Anything that threatened to become an idol this past year? I started to come up with examples, and I thought, don't do that, Harry, because then I get convicted. As I'm preparing the sermon, I think, oh, man. But I did. I thought of a bunch of them. Here's just a string of some of them that can be idols for us. I'm not saying they're my idols. I mean, some of them may be, but I'm not saying they're my idol. I'm not saying they're your idols, but I'm saying that we are, you know what I'm saying. Food. I'm not going to elaborate. Sleep. Travel. Sports. Grandchildren. Pets, money, entertainment, clothes, music. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods. Then what? Verse 17, then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and He will shut the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land that the Lord God is giving to you. Do you want to have a happy new year or a sad new year? I know the answer to that. You know the answer to that too. And if you've been listening at all, you know that the most important thing you need to do to make this a happy new year is to be found in these admonitions of Moses to the Hebrews a long time ago. But if you just let it roll off the top of your head and go to the game this afternoon, then you're on your own. It's your choice. Take it to heart, people. Take it to heart. God's word is God's word. Moses went on in verse 18 to emphasize how important this teaching is. But he used one word, a very big word. I wrote it in all capital letters here in my notes. He said, fix, F-I-X, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Fix them. And then he went on to say, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. It's from that scripture that devout Jews started using phylacteries, small leather boxes that had a portion of the law of Moses in them, and they would bind them on their wrist or sometimes wear them on their forehead. And then in verse 20, Moses added, and write them on the door frames of your houses. And it's from that scripture that they started using the mezuzah, which is a usually metal shaped like a scroll, and inside is a parchment paper on which is written Deuteronomy 6:4, which is, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and you shall love. You know that scripture. And you know what it says. And like anything else, you know, those things that the devout Jews are doing can be empty symbols, or they can be meaningful reminders. It's very similar to a Christian wearing a cross. It can be an empty symbol, or it can be a meaningful reminder. Regardless, my favorite part of it all is Moses' words, fix these words in your hearts and in your minds. In other words, be committed. Be committed. I could stop the sermon right there, but I'm not going to. I do not doubt that you are committed. But you know what? Everybody can grow in that area. Do I hear an amen on that? Everybody can grow in commitment to the Lord God. Make that a resolve. Make that a goal for this new year. I'm going to be more committed. Now, Deuteronomy 11 closes with something very interesting. And I'm going to beg you to stay with me on this, because I'm going to spin out something that comes to a head, and I want you to really get the full grasp of it. So stay with me. I'm reading from verse 26. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving to you today. The curse, if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I command you today by following other gods, which you have not known. When the Lord your God has brought you out, has brought you into the land you are entering to possess, you are to proclaim on Mount Gerizim the blessings and on Mount Ebal the curses. Now, when Joshua finally got the Israelites across the Jordan River and the walls came a tumbling down and they went into the promised land, the first thing he did is he took them to those two mountains, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, exactly what God had commanded him to do. And the priest stood before Mount Gerizim and they said, "Blessed is the man who..." And then they would add one of the commandments to that phrase. Then they would turn this way to Mount Ebal and they'd say, "Blessed, accursed is the man who does not." And then they would cite the same commandment. Those two small mountains are there today in the central part of Israel. I've been there 15 times. I've seen them many times. And between those mountains is a town. The town used to be called Shechem. And the road from Jerusalem in the south of the country that goes all the way up to the north to the Galilee runs right through Shechem. It became a major trade route, and all kinds of Old Testament figures and New Testament figures would travel that road, and they would stop in Shechem. Many people did that. One of them was Jacob. And when Jacob stopped in Shechem, he dug a well there called Jacob's Well. It's still there, Jacob's Well. And Jesus later visited Shechem, and he went to that well. And he met a woman there. Do you remember the woman at the well? And he had a very important conversation with her. And you know what? You can still drink the water out of that well. They have provided one battered tin cup that is used by thousands of pilgrims from all over the world to drink water from that well. I was too squeamish to do it, but not my Elizabeth. She was determined to get a drink of water from that well. She was determined to remember. Remember what? Well, what Jesus told that woman, several important things. Among them was, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Hallelujah. And that woman responded to Jesus by saying that her ancestors worshipped on these two mountains. And Jesus responded to that by saying, a time is coming and now has come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kinds of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, Jesus said. God is spirit, and his worshipers, and here comes a word I don't want you to miss. I have it in all capital letters in my notes. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Did you realize it said that? It doesn't say may, it says must. I hope you're listening. I hope you've stayed with me. If you visit there today, you will enter a town called Nablus. It's an Arab town that replaced the old town of Shechem, and you can clearly see those mountains framing that town on either side. Mount Ebal, the Mount of Curses, is barren rock. Mount Gerizim, the Mount of Blessings, is loaded with trees and green vegetation. And the locals there, the Arabs there, will look at you and say, we don't understand why that is, right? Side by side. But those who read God's word, those who believe, they know the story. Let me apply all this now to you and me. Tonight, at the stroke of midnight, we will enter the year of our Lord 2024. Let us love God first. Let us remember his blessings from the past. Let us recommit ourselves to being obedient to him that he may strengthen us spiritually. Let us embrace and accept the fact that things change, and they will change. And let us rejoice in the fact that God will provide as he promises. And if you need to, get in there and clean out some old closets where you may be hiding some idols. Get rid of them. And then spiritually stand between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal and pray this prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, O God, and know my thoughts. And see, Father, if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen.